Well, good evening. Welcome back, Gathering. How we doing? You doing good? All right. Well, man, it's been a little while. I think 5 weeks. It feels like it's been 7 or 8. Glad that you're here. If you want to pull out your Bibles, your notebook, open your note app, whatever you want to do, now's the time to do that. We're going to kind of be all over God's Word tonight, but Genesis 2 is where we're going to start. So this series that we're kicking off our summer session with is called Soul Care. And obviously that is a play on words of the terms that we typically hear of self-care, right? And so as we were thinking about where are our young adults, where are they at in life? What are they dealing with? What are they hearing? What are they influenced by? One of the things that kept coming up was this idea of self-care. Is that really what we need, or is it more soul care what we need? Because this idea of soul, this word soul, it's a funny word, isn't it? Everyone knows what it is, but it's really hard to articulate what it is. Here's what I mean by that. Like even outside of the Christian world, we hear the word soul all the time. Like if you're a sports fan of any sort, at some point in your life, you're going to hear that so-and-so is the soul of the team. If they're gone, we've lost our soul. Or maybe you work for a company and you've heard somebody in your company described as the soul of the company. I don't know if a company can have a soul, but if we can, they're it, right? Or maybe you've heard that food can have soul, or music can have a soul. Heck, even the distress signal, SOS, you know what that stands for? Save our souls. It's everywhere. In fact, if you could just do a quick Google search, people regularly try and sell their soul on eBay for anywhere between $50 to about $2,000 is the going rate. But here's the crazy thing. eBay will never let you finish the purchase, because it goes against their policy that you have to be able to deliver what you're selling. What is a soul? We all know it. We all feel it. But it's really hard to put your finger on. Authors write about it. Artists sing about it. And makers create from it. This word isn't going away. One, because it sells really well. Books, movies, songs. You sing about the soul. You make a movie about this soul connection, right? It's love. That's what we're talking about, this idea of soul. And so we're going to dive into this over the next several weeks of what does it look like? What is a soul is what we're going to talk about kind of tonight. We're going to kind of be on the 30,000-foot level. And the next several weeks, we're going to get very practical. And what does it look like to actually care for your soul? But tonight we're going to figure out what is it? What can we know about the soul? Because the funny thing about a soul is in one moment, we're going to talk about the soul as a strength. It is directive of your life. It's what drives you. It's what motivates you. It's what keeps you going north. But on the other hand, on the other side of that coin, we also talk about the soul as being very fragile and vulnerable to being taken or lost or stolen. And so it's a really interesting concept to talk about. And so in the next coming weeks, we're going to talk about what damages and heals the soul. We're going to talk about the symptoms of a hurting soul. We're going to talk about what does the soul actually and ultimately need, and how does the soul become restored once it's been broken. And so I hope you join us, not just tonight, but for the next several weeks, because we're going to dive into this idea of soul. So let me start with this question. How is your soul? Here's the question we usually get. How are you doing? How's life going? But I want to ask you a different question. How is your soul tonight? How is your soul in this season? Right? It just hits a little different than how are things going? Because here's the deal. When we answer that question, how are things going? How are things, how's life? We immediately go to all the outside things. relationships, job, money, family, friends, vacations. We go on all the, that's my life. That's the outer life. And the funny thing is we try and make the outer things in life fix the inner things of ourselves, our soul. And it just never quite works that way. So how's your soul? How are you doing tending to your soul? Right, we curate a lot of things. Our outfit, our image, our social media page, we curate it, right? We want a certain aesthetic maybe. How are you at cultivating, curating, and tending your soul? Again, it just hits a little different. So here's the definition of all the definitions I looked at, this is the one that resonated the most with me. It's gonna be on the screens, but here it is. The soul is what encompasses and organizes the whole person, interrelating all the other dimensions of the self so that they form one person functioning in a flow of life. It's like the computer that runs a business in the background. And you know what happens when that computer freezes? The business crashes, and so it is with our soul. It's running, it's functioning until it's not. And I think, and I just wonder if a lot of what we deal with in life is really a soul issue, not a stuff issue. It's a soul issue, not a self issue. It's deeper than that. And so like I said, tonight we're gonna kind of be on a 30,000 foot level. And what I wanna do tonight is give you five truths about the soul. The first truth is this: you are a soul. You don't have a soul, you are a soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we go back to the creation account. It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Now, if you look up that word living being in the Hebrew, it's a word that means soul. Then the Lord God formed. Guys, think about the personal and intimate nature of this process. Right before this, God just spoke and it happened. We don't see that God formed the mountains. We don't see that he formed the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea. But here with humanity, there's an intimacy and a personal nature of God's creation. It says, God formed you. There's a tactile idea to it. He formed us into being. In the Psalms, it says, he formed you in your mother's womb. And from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the soul. You see, God spoke creation into existence, but he formed and breathed life into you. You are a soul. Not only are you a soul, you're a dependent soul. Now, we don't like to hear that, especially in the West, right? We love independence. We celebrate it, and we blow stuff up to celebrate it, right? We like to be independent. Don't you tell me what to do. Don't you tell me how to do it or when to do it. I'll do whatever I want. We love to be independent. But the truth is, not only are you a soul, you are a dependent soul. I think about my children, and when you were young, you probably did this exact same thing because I did. When there's a storm outside and it's late at night and you get scared, where do you go? You go to mom and dad. Like, I can't remember the amount of nights my kids would hop in bed and they just, as soon as they got in bed, their whole body just relaxed. And I think that's our soul, right? Life is crazy, it's chaotic, it can be scary, it can be intimidating, it can be aimless. And so our soul is always looking for its father. And when we find it, we can rest. You see, you are a soul made by God, made for God, and made to need God. You are not meant to be self-sufficient beings. That longing that we have deep inside of ourselves for value and for connection and for love and for joy and for meaning, that longing that we all have that drives us, that longing is for God. But what we like to do is we like to try and fit everything else into it and still be independent. I'm gonna chase this and I'm gonna fill that hole with this. When actually what you're looking for, your soul is looking for the Lord. And that's why maybe I could make an argument that Matthew 11, 28 is my single favorite verse in all of the Bible. This is the words of Jesus when it comes to the fact that you are a soul and a dependent one at that. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, we serve a God and we worship a Savior who doesn't say, hey, good luck, figure it out. We serve a God and we worship a Savior who invites us in and says, you want rest for your soul? You want beyond a good nap? You want a soul level rest and come to me. We are dependent souls. The second truth tonight is that your soul is eternal. Your soul is eternal. There are not many things that are eternal. But there is something about us that we know. When we look at the stars in the sky, when we see a beautiful sunrise and a beautiful sunset, when someone you love passes away, we start to think of eternity. This is not just a Christian idea. Three-time Pulitzer Prize winner and playwright Thornton Wilder, he writes this: we all know that something is eternal. And it ain't houses, and it ain't names, and it ain't the earth, and it ain't even the stars. Everybody knows in their bones that something is eternal, and that something has to do with human beings. All the greatest people ever lived have been telling us that for 5,000 years, and yet you'd be surprised how people are always losing hold of it. There's something way down deep that's eternal about every human being. It's like he was reading the Bible. In the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 3:11, where Solomon writes this: God, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. You see, when you wonder and when you see beauty, it's because God has set eternity in your heart. When we look at the stars and we see a sunset and we look at the mountains and we see the vast oceans, our soul cries out, there is something more. Because God has placed it there. He has breathed it into you that there is an eternity. The Bible actually says, at least in my study, that two things are eternal: the words of God and the souls of men. And so when it comes to this idea of soul care, it's more than a massage. It's more than a vacation. It's more than a Sunday afternoon nap. It's a deeper thing than that. I'm not saying those are bad things. I love a good massage. I'm going on vacation in a couple weeks. We should do that. But the soul is eternal. I love this quote from Dallas Willard. He's a philosopher. He's passed now, but he was a philosophy professor at USC. And I will be drawing a lot of stuff from Dallas Willard in this series. He says this: the most important thing about you is who you are becoming. That's what you will take into eternity. Listen to this line: you are an unceasing spiritual being with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. That's the most important thing about you. So I don't know what you think about when you think about the most important thing about you. Is it your job or your bank account or your relationship status or your family history, what family you belong to, you know, do you know who I am kind of thing? But I tend to agree with Dallas Willard that the most important thing about you is that you are an unceasing spiritual being that God has breathed life and soul into, who has an eternal destiny in God's universe. How often do we think about that, right? We're getting deep tonight, guys. We're talking philosophy here. I know you're just looking for a Tuesday night out, right? We're getting deep. Stick with me. Have you ever thought about what is the most important thing about you? When was the last time when you maybe even thought about that question that your conclusion was, my soul? My soul is the most important thing about me. I know when I read that this week, I was like, I don't think I've ever thought that. But you know what? When you start to think about it, you're like, yeah, it is. Because it's eternal. And I am one. It's the most important thing about me. The third truth is this: you can lose your soul. You can lose it, right? We talked about being fragile. How many of you guys lose your keys on a regular basis? Can we be honest? Who loses your keys, right? Okay, yep, all right, couple hands. How many of you guys lose your phone? Anybody? Find Your Phone app is your favorite app, right? Like, we lose stuff all the time. We can buy little discs to stick on stuff so we can find it when we lose it. And it beeps at us when we want to find it, right? And so we are people that are, we tend to lose things. Shoes, favorite shirt, right? That phone number, that cute girl you met at the gathering, right? You lost it. We lose things. And so it makes sense that maybe the Bible might talk about losing your soul. And Jesus actually talks about this. In Matthew 16:26, he's talking to his disciples about what it will cost to follow him. And he says this: what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So you know what I'm learning from this, just this one verse? A, you can lose your soul. Two, you can make an exchange. You can make an exchange. We see in this example in the rich young ruler, the story in the Gospels of Jesus talking to this young man who is really wealthy. And this young man came to Jesus and said, hey, I've followed all of the rules. So what else do I need to do to get eternal life? And Jesus said, you need to take everything that you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and then follow me. And it says the rich young ruler had great wealth. And so he walked away from Jesus sad. And what's fascinating to me is that that passage says that he had great wealth, but the truth is his great wealth had him. And he exchanged, he made an exchange. He traded a relationship with Christ and following him for his money and all the things that his money afforded him. And so when Jesus says, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? I just wonder if we ever actually think, have I lost my soul? Have I exchanged my soul for something else? This isn't one of the points, but as we were worshiping earlier, I thought I should have had another point, is that our souls long to worship. Oh boy, do they want to worship. We see it at football games in the fall. We see it at concerts whenever we go, right? We want to worship. There is something in us that says we want to worship something. And the rich young ruler, he simply worshiped his money. You see, to gain the whole world, as Jesus says, is to pursue and to receive all that the world has to offer. To pursue money, to pursue fame, pleasure, power, prestige, status, benefit, privilege. But to lose one's soul, and I want to be very clear on this, to lose one's soul is to live and die without a right relationship with Christ and to spend eternity separated from him. To lose one's soul is to live this life separated from Christ. To die without a right relationship, separated from Christ. That we would spend eternity separated from God. That is why Jesus came. God saw who we were. He knew what we might do. He knew we'd be easily worshiping other things. He said, I'm going to send my son Jesus to redeem you. Jesus did not come to micromanage your life. He didn't come to steal your joy. He didn't come to catch you in your sin. In fact, he came to set you free from the sin that has caught you. He came to give you joy. He came to give you life. The hope that we have when it comes to this idea of losing our soul is actually Matthew 16, 24 and 25, right before what Jesus just said. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Rich young ruler. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. You see, Jesus came to give you life. Jesus didn't come to steal it from you. He came in to give it to you. In this life and in the next, in the eternity. And so this is why we talk about Jesus with an urgency, because you are a soul, that soul is eternal, and you can lose it. The fourth truth tonight is that your soul seeks integration. Your soul seeks integration. Now, this is going to be a key idea for the rest of this series, so I want you to lock in here. All right? Integration means that it would come together. Our soul seeks wholeness, integration. Proverbs 10:9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. You see, the word integrity, integration, is a deep soul word, because it is what the soul is attempting to do constantly. It's constantly trying to bring integrity to our life. Like when you think about a building that's built, or you go to a house and you're thinking about buying a house, one of the questions you might ask is like, how's the integrity of the foundation? Because no one wants to get into a building where the integrity of the foundation is in question. Then maybe the foundation's cracked and it's separated. It's not, there's no integrity. Integrity is, it is together. It is level and it is secure. And so the soul is always looking to integrate all the parts of who we are, okay? Let me put it this way. Who likes puzzles in the room? Anybody, any puzzlers? All right. How many of you, when you do a puzzle, you get frustrated at one of two things? One, there's a missing piece, all right? You get to the end, you're like, oh no. And you start looking on the floor, and then the floor vents, and you're like, oh no, like, it's not complete. The integrity of the puzzle's done. Or are you that person that's like, you know what? I've been working so long on this. This piece is going to fit right there. How many of you guys force the piece into the puzzle, right? Because we're just like, we gotta have it. We can't have a hole in the middle of the puzzle. We've got to have integrity. We need all the pieces to integrate. And so this is what the soul, I wanna give you that picture of a puzzle, and then I wanna give you this picture. The soul is trying to do three things. First, it starts with our will. This is your intentions, your capacity to choose, to make decisions. Our will is good at making simple and large decisions, but it is terrible at overcoming habits and attitudes, right? My will says, well, I want to do this, and so I will do that. But have you ever heard of the phrase willpower, right? It is the biggest farce in human history. Your willpower can only get you so far. And so the soul looks at the will and your intentions and says, okay, let's bring this in, let's integrate this with our mind. First you have the will and then you have your mind. And the mind is where your thoughts and your feelings and your values come from. And the crazy thing about thoughts is they never stop. It's just going on and on and on all the time, which is an amazing thing of the creation of God. That's how he's made us. But the power of our mind is dangerous, especially when we believe and think thoughts that that are untrue, that are contrary to the way God has made you and put you together. And so you have the will and you have the mind, and that mind is always craving what? Peace, integration. I just want a peace of mind. That's what I just want some peace. It's just always going, always. It never stops. We just want peace. We want integration with what we're thinking, with our will. And then the third piece of this is our body. The soul is trying to bring these three things to an integrated place, that they are one. That they agree, that they're doing the same thing. And that body, as Dallas Willard, our philosopher friend, says, he goes, the body is our little kingdom. I love that phrase. Our body, our physical body, is our little kingdom. It's the only place our tiny little wills have a chance to be in charge. Because everything else in the world, we're not in charge. But our bodies, this is a little part of me that I can be in charge. I can determine what I want to do with my hands and my feet and my eyes and my ears. I can decide that. And so what the soul is attempting to do is to integrate all of those things. And when those things are disintegrated, that's when you feel that there's something wrong with your soul. The soul is trying to wrap and keep together and keep integrity of your body, your mind, and your will. And when any of those two things, or all three of them, are at odds, that's when you feel like, oh, I'm losing my soul. Like, you think about a soul-crushing job. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand tonight. What is that? Your body is going to a place, and your thoughts say, I want to love my job, but that's not happening. You have a will. I want to be a good worker. I want to love my job. I want this to be, you know, give me purpose and achievement. And all of a sudden, it's like, that's not happening. And so your thoughts and your feelings don't match where your body is taking you, and it doesn't match what your will is wanting to do. Like, we see a perfect example of this in Romans chapter 7. Like, the Apostle Paul lives this out in real time in Romans chapter 7. It's this passage, it's phenomenal. The Apostle Paul is having an argument with himself. His soul is disintegrating. That's what I'm looking for. He says this: why do I do the things that I do not want to do? The things I do not want to do, I end up doing. Right? He's having a battle of the will, his mind, and his body. Why do I do? You guys ever do this? You're like, why am I doing that? I don't want to do that. I know I shouldn't do that, and I don't even want to do it, but here I am once again. We are disintegrated. And I love what Paul says here. He says this in verse 21 of Romans 7. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, my will, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, my soul, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me. His sin nature, right? Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. Listen to this. He says, what a wretched man that I am. He's having a hard day. He says, what a wretched man I am. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? The things I want to do, I don't do. Ah, what a wretched man I am. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? He has talked about his soul. He has talked about his mind. He has talked about his will. And now he gets to the body. He's like, who will save me from this body to death? And he says in verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, he knows he's a dependent soul. He's like, I feel the struggle. Who can save me? Jesus. Because Jesus is the perfect integrated person. His will, his mind, and his body were integrated. Fully trusting God with all of himself. You see, when we feel like you are, when you feel like you're losing your soul, it's because something is disintegrated. It's not integrated with your mind or your body or your will. A healthy soul is one that is integrated. An unhealthy soul is one that experiences disintegration. We're gonna cover a lot more depth next week about that very thing. What causes us to be disintegrated souls? My last point tonight, the last truth about the soul is your soul is not the same as yourself. Your soul is not the same as self. Psychology, like that word psych, right? That comes from the Greek word soul. And so it's the study of the soul is psychology. But what's happened over time is that psychology and thus culture has made an exchange. We've exchanged soul with self. And they have a totally different meaning. If you feel empty inside, what you're gonna hear our culture say is fulfill yourself. If you're stressed, well, you need more self-care. If you're scared, well, you need to believe in yourself. You need to express yourself. You need to love yourself. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to be yourself. But what if you've come to the end of yourself? And you're like, what now? I've done the self-care. I've tried to believe in myself. I've tried to fulfill myself with all kinds of things, and I'm still empty. You see, self is an independent, standalone, do-it-yourself entity, while the soul reminds us that we are not made for ourselves, we are made for God. Colossians 1 tells us this. That through Jesus, everything was created by him and for him. You were created as a soul to be connected intimately with Jesus. You see, the irony is that the more we focus and obsess about ourselves, the more we neglect our soul. We're trying to treat the inside with everything that is outside. And when we come to the end of ourselves, then things get real bad. Because what the line that we've been sold our whole life by our culture is the answer is within you. You just gotta find it. Bible doesn't say that. What it says is in us is the problem. Our sin nature is the issue. And we are designed to connect with something outside of ourselves, and his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says this in John 15. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy, Jesus's joy, may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I don't know whether you read that or listened to that, but did you hear what Jesus just said? Jesus invites you to connection, value, love, and joy. We exchange our mind, our body, and our souls all the time for connection, for value, for love, and for joy. We exchange all the time. We spend money, we make compromises to get the very thing that Jesus is offering. He says, I am the vine. Stay connected to me. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. May the joy that is in me be in you, so that your joy may be complete. I think we know deep down, we are deeper than ourself. We are souls. John Ortberg, in his book, Soul Keeper, writes this. In your soul, if your soul is healthy, no external thing or circumstance can destroy your life. But if your soul is unhealthy, no external circumstance can redeem your soul. Soul care. When we care about this, that we make sure our soul is well and healthy, then whatever happens in life will happen and it will not destroy you. Because your anchor and your rock is Jesus, who speaks love and value and joy. But what we think is something outside of us can redeem us. Some amount of money, some amount of pleasure, some amount of people liking us, some whatever, you fill in the blank. Some relationships that if I could just get that, then it will fix what's in here. And Jesus says, no. I am the vine. You are the branches. Remain in me. You are a soul, a dependent soul. Your soul is eternal. Therefore, we have urgency as Christians. You can lose your soul. Your soul seeks to integrate all parts of you. And your soul is not the same as self. So what is a soul? That. That's the best I could come up with. Soul is deep. It's hard to define, but we all know what it is. It's kind of like gravity. We see it, we feel it, but you can't point to it. It's just there. So what do we do with this? I want to ask four things of you tonight. Number one, I want you to ask yourself, how is my soul? Not my life. Not my situations, how is my soul? And in order to ask that question, you are going to have to fight for some quiet. And you're gonna have to sit with the Lord for a while and ask, how is my soul? Number two, I wanna ask this question. Where do you spend your time? In self-care or soul care? I'm not knocking self-care. I'm just asking. Are we spending any time tending to our souls? And I hope during this series, you are going to get very tangible tools on how to do that. Number three, this kind of goes with number one. I want you to sit quietly. Keyword is quietly. And I want you to pray Psalm 139, 23, and 24. I want you to pray it over and over until you hear the Holy Spirit tell you something. It says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Soul care takes time, it takes intention, and it takes space. We want it now. We want the answer right now. But here's my last one. I want you to make space this week to abide, to remain in Christ. The image that came to my mind earlier today when I was doing this, the practice run through this, was a snow globe. You guys know what a snow globe is? It's Christmas, you pick it up, you shake it, then it's this beautiful, you know, landscape that all of a sudden has all this snow. You gotta let your life maybe shaken. And there's a lot of snow. The only way for that snow to settle is to be still. Is to get rid of everything that's shaking you up. Put your phone down, turn it off. Go on a walk where no, you're not gonna see anybody. Go on a road trip, turn the radio off and just drive. And ask these questions. How is my soul? God, would you search me? Would you know me? Would you show me anything that's in me that is not of you? We're gonna go into 120 seconds. If you're new, we just end the message every time with 2 minutes of quiet just for you to do this very thing. So can we put the psalm back on the screens? And we'll just leave this up here. If you wanna read through Psalm 139, in the next 2 minutes and just make this prayer personal. God, would you search me? Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me what is in me that is disintegrating my soul? And then we're gonna worship, and then we'll be out of here for tonight. Let me pray. God, I just wanna thank you for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the way that you have made us. Thank you that you took us and you formed us intimately and personally. You put us together and then you breathed life into us and you gave us soul. The thing that wants more than anything to be connected to you. God, would you help us to see what we are chasing that is disintegrating us, that is cracking our lives, that is separating our soul. And God, would you give us the courage to then confess those and bring them before you? And would you tend to our souls to the glory of your name? In your son's name, amen.